Welcome to the morning worship of the International Protestant Church of Zurich. We're happy that you can join us. We are from many lands, but we are one in English and we are one in the Spirit. If you're visiting, it will be announced later that we also have an afternoon worship at 5 o'clock. So I would like also to welcome today Reverend Chris Dipinar, who has preached for us many times before. He spent over 30 years in mission in Taiwan and has returned to Switzerland with his Swiss wife, so we're very pleased to have him again. So thank you, Chris. So please join me as we gather in prayer. Father, we thank you for this cool and beautiful day. We thank that we can gather safely in this beautiful country. We thank you for your Spirit present. We thank you for your word that we will presently hear. We ask that you would give us your Spirit to hear your message for us in it. In all these things, we thank you and we praise you to your glory, God. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from the book of Ezekiel. We're going to read today chapter 34, verses 1 through 12, and this can be found on your church Bible on pages 865 to 866. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to your shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness." This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. And can be found on page 1048 of your pew Bible. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, He joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. This too is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Before we listen together to the Word of God, let us come into His presence in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are gathered here together as Your people. You have invited us into Your presence. You have promised that You are close to all who call upon Your name. Lord, we come to You, we come before You as we are, with everything that gives us joy and with all that burdens us, with all our thoughts, our longings, our anxieties, our hopes. We entreat You to speak to us through Your word, to let us hear Your voice, to touch our hearts, to help us experience Your presence. Strengthen us through Your word. Equip us with all we need from You today. Comfort and encourage us through Your Holy Spirit. Renew our faith so that we can go into the week ahead of us with new strength and new courage as witnesses to Your love and Your compassion, as witnesses to Your living presence in our broken world. Amen. The parable of the lost sheep must be one of the best known passages in the whole Bible. And because it's so familiar, we may easily just read over it. It's just a few verses in the Bible. We may just read over it and think we actually already know what it says. But if we listen carefully, maybe this morning we will still hear something new. If we look at the context of this parable, we find out that it's actually all about two different attitudes: grumbling and rejoicing. Jesus is surrounded by problem people, sick people, people with all sorts of issues, sinners, tax collectors, hated by the Jews of that time. Jesus is surrounded by these people. He associates with them. He welcomes them. He even eats with them. They're all eager to hear His words and to be with Him. Strange enough, these problem people, they actually want to hear what Jesus has to say. But the religious leaders, they are very unhappy about this situation. So they grumble and complain that Jesus keeps company with the wrong sort of people. And that is what leads to the telling of this parable. So I think it's very important to notice from the start that this parable is not addressed to lost people. This parable is addressed to insiders, to the Pharisees, the scribes. That's the believers of those days, the committed believers, those who really want to follow God's will, the scribes with the theologians. Or let's put it in other words, this parable is addressed to us who are in the church, not to the lost people outside. And this story is about a lost sheep, as we heard just now, not a lost lion, not a lost fox, but a lost sheep. And the question is not why or how the sheep got lost. This little story does not mention this issue. The fact is, one of 100 sheep has gone missing. In fact, as it is written here, it's the shepherd who has lost the sheep. And the shepherd feels responsible. He feels he has to go and look for this missing sheep. It's so easy for us who are safe in the church, who can come every Sunday to hear God's word, to have fellowship together. It's so easy for us to criticize people for being lost and to analyze the reasons why they are lost, often emphasizing that it's their own fault, it's their own guilt. For the good shepherd, all that matters is that the sheep is lost. He needs to be found and needs to be brought home to safety. So far, so good. But now, when we really listen carefully to this story, as if we hear it for the first time, we realize that this shepherd acts very strangely. Jesus asks a question here, a rhetorical question. He asks, which shepherd among you who loses one sheep won't leave 99 in the desert to go and look for the missing one? And the way he asks the question, he expects the answer, no one. Every shepherd would leave the 99 in the desert and go and look for the lost one. As if that's the most natural thing to do. But in fact, the average person among us would probably be happy that only one got lost and make sure we keep the other 99 safe. That would be a more natural reaction. But Jesus tells us this strange story to show us how strange God is. He reminds us that God thinks differently from us. For God, every single sheep is important. He's like the shepherd in the parable. He leaves the 99 to look for the one lost sheep. And that can be hard for us to accept because we are the 99. Righteous sheep, the good sheep, who didn't get lost. Why do we sometimes get the impression that God leaves us in the desert? Because he's so busy looking for the lost. And what is more, he keeps looking until he finds it. He doesn't look around and say, well, I've done my best. If this is the way it is, at least I've got 99 others left. He keeps on looking until he finds it. And when he finds the sheep, what does he do? He doesn't scold the sheep. He doesn't kick the sheep or beat it for causing him so much trouble. No, he rejoices. And he does not drive the sheep before him back to the flock. He picks up the sheep with joy and carries it on his shoulders. And for him, it is no burden. It says here he does it joyfully, so happy to have found this lost sheep. The main point of this little story is actually the joy of the shepherd. And we should not lose out on this because we concentrate so much on the lostness of the sheep. This parable is about God's joy in finding lost sheep. Three times in only four verses, the word joy appears. He rejoices when he finds the lost sheep. He goes home and he invites his friends and neighbors to rejoice together with him. And finally, Jesus says, the rejoicing even reaches heaven. God himself rejoices about the finding of the lost. So, what does this have to do with us? We easily identify with the lost sheep. That is the easy part of listening to this parable. If you see yourself as this lost sheep, then we can be grateful that the Lord has saved us and carried us home on his shoulders. that we belong to his flock. And that is all true. But Jesus did not tell this story to the lost. He told this story to the Pharisees and the scribes, to those who considered themselves to be righteous. He wanted them to stop grumbling and to rejoice with him. The point of the story is not that we should be grateful for being saved. Of course we should, but that's not what this story is about. The point is not that we should go looking for lost sheep ourselves. That also we should do, but this is not what this story says. The point is that we should learn to rejoice over God's work of saving the lost. And sometimes that is the hardest lesson to learn. It's so much easier to work hard for the Lord, to carry heavy burdens for him, to make sacrifices for him, than just to rejoice with him. We like to talk about having a burden for the lost. I'm sure you've heard that, huh? This guy, wow, he really has a burden for the lost. That lady, look where she goes. She must have a burden for the lost. But where is the joy? The one thing that the Lord demands from us in this parable is to rejoice with him. Not to repent. Other places demand that. Not to seek the lost. Other places demand that. But just to be happy together with the Lord. Now, this parable is an assignment for my students in China. They have to write an exegetical paper of 16 to 20 pages about these few verses. And I get the most interesting responses. This is what one of my students in China wrote, a member of a house church there, persecuted. This student clearly grasped the message. She wrote in her paper, "This passage always talks about joy, the true joy in God's heart because a person has been saved. But in my family life, workplace, and my church ministry, I often lack the joy and happiness that comes from God. This scripture commands Christians to rejoice and to be happy together with God. This is an especially important command and the best medicine to overcome all kinds of pressure and persecution in our life and ministry. A joyful heart is crucial to our walk with God, and it's also an important testimony to the reality of God's presence in my life. I need to understand God's heart, his love for the lost, and always be happy because I'm actually working with God as he seeks the lost. I need to rejoice and be happy together with God, who rejoices so much about finding any lost sheep. This is the gospel, the good news, that the only thing God demands of us is to rejoice with him. Everything else he has already done on the cross, or he's doing now. He is seeking the lost. So let us stop grumbling and complaining and learn to rejoice with God. Now, this should be the end of my sermon, but we have listened to the rendering of Psalm 23 by Randolph Turner and Ruth Pfister. Such a wonderful psalm, Psalm 23. So maybe we should meditate a little bit on this psalm too, because it's connected to this parable we've just read. Because in Psalm 23, we also meet God as a loving shepherd who invites us to join his feast to enjoy his hospitality. Psalm 23 is such a well-known psalm, but it's actually a very strange psalm. Because what is it? It's not a hymn. It's not a lament. It's not a wisdom psalm. It's not really a prayer. It's more a confession of trust. A sheep telling us what it means to be one of those sheep found by the Lord. What it means to belong to his flock. The psalm starts with a confession of faith, or actually, rather, praise of God's faithfulness. Not our faith in God, but his faithfulness to us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He provides in all my needs. Under his care, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Original says, waters of rest. He revives my soul. He restores my life. He leads me in the path of righteousness. He leads me on the right way. And then the psalm continues with a reminder of God's protection in dangerous situations. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in life-threatening darkness, I fear no evil. And here comes a turning point. Because the mention of imminent danger encourages David to stop talking about God. Up to now, he was talking about God, telling us who God is. He's my shepherd. He does this. He does that. He does all these things. Now he stops talking about God and he speaks to God. He addresses God directly. So now it becomes a prayer. I fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod is what the shepherd uses to drive away wild animals threatening his sheep. And the staff, the nice crooked staff, is what the shepherd uses to hook out a sheep who's fallen into a hole or down a ravine to save a sheep that otherwise would be lost. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Give me peace. Give me a sense of security, of being safe with you. And now the picture changes from that of a shepherd and his sheep to a host and his guest. The Lord is a generous host who welcomes me as a guest into his presence, into his house. He treats me like an honored guest. You prepare a table for me in the face of my enemies. Now, the enemies, we always ask in the Psalms, why are there so many enemies in the Psalms? How do we cope with all these enemies always mentioned? But is that not the reality of living in this world? Who of us does not have any enemies? Enemies threatening us. That is part of living in the world. But here the enemies appear not to threaten, but just so that they can be put to shame. Because they have to look on in envy as the Lord entertains me as a guest at his own table. You anoint my head with oil. In those days, that was the treatment for a special guest, to pour olive oil on the head after walking the dusty roads of Palestine, oil on your hair, in your head, to make you feel comfortable. You anoint my head with oil. You make my cup overflow. The Lord keeps on pouring. He keeps on pouring. And the wine is already coming out of my glass and he just doesn't stop. The Lord's presence also removes the fear of my enemies. They can just look on helplessly as God entertains me. In fact, it's no longer they who pursue me and persecute me, but God's goodness and faithful love. Because in the Hebrew it says, God's goodness and merciful love will pursue me, persecute me all the days of my life. and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Hebrew says, in length of days, in length of days, I will live in the house of the Lord. I will stay as his guest forever. God's house becomes my home, my dwelling place. It is this good shepherd who seeks us when we are lost, until he finds us, who takes care of us and protects us. It is he who invites us to his table today. Let us celebrate the meal with him, in memory of Jesus' death, but also in anticipation of sitting at his table in his kingdom in the fullness of time. The Lord invites us. Rejoice with me. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our loving, caring shepherd. Lord, we are here today as your flock because you have looked for each of us until you found us, and you have brought us here. And since we belong to your flock, we have never lacked anything. You provide for us, you protect us, you guide us. Thank you, Lord, that you invite us into your presence, that you treat us as honored guests at your table. We thank you for what you have sacrificed to open up the way into your presence, that our Lord gave his life so that we can be members of your flock. And we pray, Lord, that as we now partake of communion, that you will touch our hearts and remind us of what Jesus did for us, how he gave his body and his blood. But also remind us of the feast you prepare for us, that one day we will be your guests eternally. We thank you that you invite us to rejoice with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.